me say first that it is indeed a blessing to be able to be here. I was telling several of you earlier, this is probably the first time in my life I've been to this part of Tennessee. I live near Tuscaloosa, Alabama. When we're going out west, we go over to Mississippi and go up through Memphis. And when we're going up north, we go up 65 right through Nashville. When we're going east, we go through Atlanta. I never get to this part of Tennessee that's between Nashville and Memphis. But it is indeed a blessing to be able to be here and to be part of this service. I've been trying to get up here for several years. Brother Paul has called and asked me, and I appreciate the invitation. And more than that, I appreciate the fellowship that we've experienced. I was telling Brother Jeff, we could just forego all the preaching, as far as I'm concerned, and sing. That was some of the best singing I believe I've ever heard. I'm so thankful for there is something strange about singing, and it's just, it's crazy. But the Lord, I think the Lord kind of knew what He's talking about when He said this is what we're supposed to be doing. So please pray for me tonight. I've had two or three thoughts on my mind, and some of you preachers know what I'm talking about, how that it's hard to sometimes settle on something, and I hope this is of the Lord. In Daniel, the third chapter, there's a very, very familiar story. And I say story, but what I mean is an account, okay? Right. Don't misunderstand me. I may say story, but I'm not talking about a fairy tale story. I'm talking about a real occurrence that is told as a story here in this passage of Scripture. And the account here has to do with something that happened to three Hebrew children while they were in Babylon, in the captivity. It's called the Babylonian captivity. I don't want to go through a lot of history tonight, but most of you probably know this already. But up until the destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70, the most traumatic event in the collective history, the collective memory of the Jewish nation, was the Babylonian captivity. They had been up to that point considered themselves the favored nation, and they were, no doubt, the favored nation on earth of God. Of course, that became a problem that lent itself to pride, and they became lifted up in pride, and they ultimately the Lord brought the Babylonians upon them. Now, don't misunderstand me there either. We've talked a lot about predestination in our conversations, and we've heard a lot of it preached. God didn't predestinate the Babylonian captivity. God don't predestinate your sins. Let me tell you, the only thing that predestination applies to is the people of God, okay? And their ultimate destination, I mean, it's pretty simple, really, when you get to thinking about it. Amen. Predestination. So if you get it mixed up with something that's happening now, we're not at our destination, are we? God's not predestinating events, and He sure didn't predestinate your sins, okay? By the way, the devil didn't make you do it either. You did it of your own self. The devil may have tempted you to do it, but anyway, that's another message. Here I go again, getting on another message. But what had happened was that the Lord brought the Babylonians upon the nation of Israel, the nation of Judah, actually, at that point, as a judgment upon them for the sin that they had committed, the neglect of His temple, the neglect of His people, the neglect of justice and judgment within the nation, and ultimately they were carried captive. And by the way, they had also not observed certain of His laws regarding the Sabbaths of every 7 years and so forth. But that's another message again. But they were being judged by God for what they had not done and the things that they had done that were contrary to God's will.
Right.
And they were carried off captive. Go back to chapter 1 sometime and you read about what happened to some of those young Hebrew males.
Yeah.
Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego being four of them, they were brought into the company of the eunuchs of the king. And I won't say much more about that except to say that that's a terrible thing to happen to young Hebrew men in that day. And they were being assimilated, if you will. They were trying, the king was trying to basically, as Babylonians did, try to crush out their own beliefs and assimilate them into the society of the Babylonians. And you know the story, if you read chapter 1, you'll find that Daniel, under his tutelage, he led them through faith. And he, by the way, he didn't just happen, it didn't come upon him, and he said, "Oh my goodness, I've got to decide what to do." Young folks, don't Don't wait until the problem arises. Don't wait until the temptation comes to make up your mind what you're going to do.
Right.
Daniel purposed in his heart. Daniel had it. He was ready. He said, I know what I'm going to do. I'm not going to eat the meat that you're giving us because it goes contrary to our law. Let us try God out. You ever heard that? You're not supposed to tempt God, right? Try God. But hey, sometimes it's okay. It's okay when you do it in faith and when you say, hey, I trust God. Let's prove Him. Let's prove Him, okay?
That's right.
You know what? I've proved God in my life.
Amen.
He has proven Himself to be the God that He says He is.
Amen.
And that's what He did to them. He did that to them. And in that day, Daniel and those three Hebrew children that were with him, they ate the vegetarian diet, which don't ever tell my wife that that's what they ate, because I'm trying to make her think there's at least some meat in there, but she would be putting me on that. Anyway, but I'm not much of a vegetarian, but that's what they did, because it was the will of God. It was what God, they were eating the things that were not contrary to God's law, and the next thing you know, they were fatter and fairer than all the others. And they said, okay, if your God can do this, just do what you want to about worshiping Him. Then you know in chapter 2, the king had a dream that he couldn't remember, and that's another story and another message. But bottom line is that Daniel, through the power of God, was able to remember the dream for him and interpret it to him. And so now, where we start in chapter 3 is that Daniel is like the counselor to the king, and the three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, are right under Daniel and over the province of Babylon. They are now in Babylon, being faithful to God to this point, and serving, not only being able to serve the king, but being able to serve God where they are. That's a lesson in and of itself. Do we not live in spiritual Babylon today?
Right.
Is that not what we see around us? You know, beloved, you say, well, there's no way. I think of this sometimes. I get worried about my children. I don't have grandchildren yet, but I hope for long that I will. And I worry about them. I say, there's no way they can make it in a place like this. Well, listen, we're going to read about three Hebrew children that did.
Yeah. Right.
Now, it wasn't easy. I'm not telling you it's going to be an easy, smooth road, but you can endure and you can be faithful in the face of the Babylonian style of government that we have that tries to impose itself upon us.
Right.
But that's not what I want to preach about tonight. What I want to preach to you about has to do with that. But in chapter 3, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego face their hardest test, at least that we read about.
Right.
I'm not going to read the whole thing, but let me just give you a sort of a background here. What happened is the king decided that he was going to set up a golden image. It was probably some kind of what they called a ziggurat. It was probably some kind of tower, but it was a golden image. Whatever it was, it may have been an image of himself. We don't have to know. I don't know exactly what it was, but it doesn't matter, okay? It doesn't matter. It was a tall golden thing, golden image. And he said, all this music is going to play, and when you hear that, you've got to fall down and worship it. Or the consequence is, not that you're going to go to Disney World, the consequence is you're going to the fiery furnace. And this is what he says about it. He says in verse 4, he says, to you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up. Sometime when you get a chance to read this, notice how many times it is said of that image that Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up, that the king set up, that he set up. It's pretty clear this isn't of God. This is the king's own doing. And he says, verse 6, whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. It's not just a furnace. It's a fiery furnace. And it's not just a fiery furnace. It's a burning fiery furnace. It's a bad place to be.
Right.
Now you know, most of you, that the rest of the story is that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego wouldn't fall down and worship it. And as a result, they were cast into that fiery furnace. Now let's stop it right there. In verse 23, it tells us, these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And let's don't go any farther yet. I want you to think about this whole experience, okay? We're going to read the rest of it. Think about that too, but we're going to read it in a minute. That's a pretty bad place to be. That's a pretty bad thing to face. So tonight, what do you think was the worst part of this fiery furnace experience? What do you think was the worst part of it? Think about it. From our standpoint, there was some betrayal involved in it. Remember, in verse 8, everybody fell down and worshiped it, but it says that at that time, in verse 8, certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. And they go and they say, listen, King, these Jews, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, didn't fall down and worship. Now, how did they know that? Well, it's because they knew them. These are people that were their co-workers or their neighbors or someone who knew them. Now, there was people that they probably saw every day at the office, so to speak. There were people that they mowed their lawns together. Well, we would say that today. But they're people that were friends. They were co-workers. They might have even been a part of their extended families if they had any families there. They might have been family friends. There was some betrayal involved in that. Have you ever been betrayed by somebody? You ever been stabbed in the back? I have. I've experienced that. I don't like that. That's a bad feeling. It's an infuriating feeling when your so-called friends come up and they start talking about you behind your back, and they start telling tales on you, and they start tattling on you, so to speak. That would have been a bad part of this experience now. That would have been tough. To realize that someone you knew, maybe that you thought was your friend, is now going to tell the king on you. That would be bad. But was that the worst thing? What about the embarrassment of it? Remember what we said? Notice where these people are. They're not, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are not some of the common folk, so to speak. They were high up in the government. They've been placed over the province. Now, I don't know about y'all in Tennessee, but we've had a scandal or two in our politics in Alabama over the past few years. Now, I won't get into naming names, but I'll just say that there was a certain official particularly that everybody thought was really strong Christian. Turned out that wasn't the case. And it was correct in his case, and he fell far. It's a very embarrassing situation. It's embarrassing when someone in a high position falls. If you're in that position, especially, and I've been in the situation where in a job I was doing, there was an investigation that was peripherally involving some folks I knew, and I was just worried about even being suspected about being part of the thing. And that's an embarrassing feeling. It would have been embarrassing for these three children who had the ear of the king to suddenly find themselves in the position that they were. The fall from grace would have been devastating from a personal standpoint. Notice what it said. And when they told the king that we're not going to do this, we're not going to bow down. In verse 19, then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. In other words, they had the king's ear. And the king looked favorably upon them, and suddenly these big men in the community, so to speak, had fallen from grace. That would have been tough. Was that the worst part, you think? I get to thinking about the fiery furnace, and I think about the dread of it. I think about the dread of it. I mean, I'm a baby when it comes to pain. I'll just tell you, I'm a baby when it comes to pain. You know, our whole family, I don't have time to get into all this, but our whole family is a family of fainters, okay? I mean, the only one that doesn't faint, Brother Charles, is Ashley. And she's the one that's type 1 diabetic. Praise the Lord, she doesn't faint, because we'd never know if it was just part of being a McCool or if it was the diabetes, you know, so she doesn't do it. But every other one of us, you know, we get cut or hurt or get sick at our stomach. What, you just get ready. We're going. If I faint tonight, don't get upset. Don't start doing the CPR. First, make sure, you know, that I'm not just passed out because I got feeling bad or something. So, but that, you know, I can't. I'm a baby when it comes to pain. And the dread of things is even worse. I remember when I was a kid. I used to hate to go. I still don't like going to the doctor. But I used to hate it. I used to dread it so bad. And I can remember one time when I had an earache. I was about 5 years old. And I remember laying on the couch at my home watching TV. And Mama said, "We're just going to have to go to the doctor tomorrow." It was a Sunday night. I remember that much. And before the night was out, I had worked myself up in dread so far that I fainted. I passed out. I got so upset. I got sick. I actually got nauseated. That wasn't my problem. My problem was my ear. And I was just going to the doctor. I was so, you know, the dread of things can affect you physically. Okay? Yes. And I hope you're not as bad as me, but it can affect you physically. Okay? And you think about the fact that this was a burning, fiery furnace. And this wasn't their first rodeo with this king. They knew what he was like. And they knew he meant what he said. That if they didn't do what he said, they were going to end up in the burning, fiery furnace. It's going to be painful. I'm sure it didn't smell good. I'm sure when he confronted them about it and said, "I'm going to give y'all one more chance." Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered in verse 16, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we're not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king." I don't have time to preach on that, but let me just say that whatever fiery furnace you're facing, the Lord will deliver you out of it.
Amen.
It may be after your body is burned up, but he's going to deliver you out of whatever problem, out of the hand of the king.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
The Lord will deliver us. Okay? Right. And then they had the kind of faith that I wish I had all the time, Brother Doyle. I wish I had the "but if not" faith. I've got the "deliver me" faith. I've got the "he's able to deliver me" faith, but I want him to deliver me sometimes. Sometimes I don't think about this other faith. "But if not," they said, "we don't care if he delivers us or not. If we know he's able and he may deliver us, but if not, then be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." Fiery furnace wasn't some theoretical possibility at this point.
Right.
It was a very present reality, because we're told that he commanded in verse 20 the most mighty men that were in his army to bind these three Hebrew children and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Oh, what dread that must have been. Was that the worst of it? Well, I kind of like to think maybe the heat might have been a little worse than the dread. Because we continue reading there that the heat of it was so bad that these men that were binding them, the most mighty men in his army, were slain by the heat before they could get them down into the fire.
Right.
And by the way, look at verse 21. "Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace." Now that, to me, you've got to be a certain type of person. You know, I'm a little bit claustrophobic. And you won't hardly ever see me, even in the dead of winter, riding in my vehicle with my coat on. Because I don't like to get in the vehicle and have my coat on and pull that seat belt over and be riding in there. Because it just kind of gets to me. I take my coat off, you know. I'd like to take it off right now. You know, I feel a little restricted, you know. So, but I sure wouldn't want to get in there in my car with my coat on and my toboggan on. No, I'm hot natured, okay. I'd at least be saying, "Look, let me take my coat off. Let me take my hat off." But they didn't give them a chance. They bound them in their coats and in all their clothes and their turbans and their hats and that sort of thing. Oh, the heat of it must have been bad. In fact, it was hotter than it had ever been. It was hotter than it... It was heated seven times more than it was wont to be heated. In other words, he heated it up seven times hotter than it should have been. Because he was so mad. Oh, the heat of it. There's nothing... Man, I'm telling you. as I said, I'm a baby when it comes to pain. And I've been burned before a little bit. And I've never been, you know, some people have been burned over much of their body. And that's, they tell me that's a horrible pain. Was that the worst of the fiery furnace experience? Well, I suggest to you it wasn't. I want us to start reading in verse 24, and I'm going to tell you what I believe was the worst part of the whole experience. Verse 24, these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. So they're in there now, beloved. The dread and the betrayal and the embarrassment, all that's over with, and now they're in the midst of that heated, seven times more than it was wont, fiery, burning, fiery furnace. Now what happens? Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. And he answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God.
Amen.
Now listen to verse 26. Here, beloved, I believe, is the worst part for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego of the whole fiery furnace experience. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. And then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. Beloved, I want to say to you this evening that I believe the worst part of the burning fiery furnace experience was not the heat or the betrayal or the embarrassment or the dread of it, but it was coming out of it. Because when they were in there, they were with Jesus. Right. Jesus was in it with them. And I want to say to you, beloved, that if Jesus is with you, the burning fiery furnace is a fine place to be.
Amen.
Beloved, as long as the Lord is there, I can see these poor Hebrew servants. No doubt they had dreaded it. No doubt they could feel the heat of it as they were approaching it. No doubt all of these things were going through their minds. But when they got in it, beloved, there was somebody in there that they had not expected to see.
Amen.
They weren't sure He was going to deliver them. They knew He was able, but they weren't sure He was going to deliver them.
Amen.
But when they got in there, they were right in there with Him. And you're going to see that upon their bodies, the fire had no power.
Amen.
There wasn't a hair of their head singed. Their coats weren't changed. The smell of fire had not even passed upon them. Beloved, I can't even grill a steak without smelling like smoke.
Right.
But these children, these three Hebrew children, were in the furnace, the fiery furnace, with the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. And beloved, if you're in the fiery furnace with the Lord Jesus Christ, you might as well stay there. Because you're never going to be happy anywhere else. I'll tell you, beloved, I believe the worst part of the whole experience for them was when the king said, y'all come back out. I could just see them. I don't know what went on in there, Brother Charles, but I could just see them said, we don't want to leave. Lord, do we have to go? Lord, can we stay here? This is a burning, fiery furnace. It's a huge problem of life that has come upon us, but yet you're here with us, Lord, in a very manifest way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I...
Beloved, I believe we face these kind of, we don't face, I hope, literal fiery furnaces in life, but we live in a spiritual Babylon. We live under a system that wants to cause us to assimilate into their culture. They want us to change. And when they don't, when we refuse to change, when we refuse to compromise like these children did, there's sometimes we get in the middle of our own fiery furnace.
Right. Yeah.
But remember, beloved, as long as the Lord Jesus Christ is there with you, that's a fine place to be.
Amen.
That's a fine place to be. I don't like the times of trial. I'm not saying that those are things we should pray for by any means. It's not things we should want to come our way. But I will tell you this. I've had many times of ease and comfort where I was miserable.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I wasn't focused on the Lord.
Amen.
But I've had times of terrible difficulty, almost fiery furnace experiences, where I was just fine. Because the Lord Jesus Christ was right there with me, walking around. And when I came out of that experience, I felt like I couldn't even smell the smoke anymore.
Right.
I couldn't feel the heat anymore.
Amen.
I couldn't. Not a hair of my head was singed. Nothing that really mattered had been messed up. Oh, I had some wood and hay and stubble burned up. But let me tell you, the gold was refined.
Amen.
And the silver was tried. And it was purer than it was when I went in there. The worst part of the burning fiery furnace for these three children was not the going in, but it was the coming out. I don't think they ever was as happy in the rest of their lives as they were those few minutes or hours in there with the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Brother Paul.
Amen.
Brother
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound.